welcome to one of my favorite times of the entire week. It's time to dive into the Word of God. It's time to grow. It's time to explore. It's time to be challenged. How many of you like to be challenged? Come on, I know some of you are kind of like halfway raising your hand on that one. Come on, it's time to be challenged. It's time to get encouraged. It's time to hear the Word of the Lord. It's Bible time, amen? It's Bible time. I want to start off by pondering some questions. Why is it that some people find their prayers being answered when they pray? Things happen. Why do some people seem to have this amazing understanding of the Bible? Why is it that there seems to be certain people that just keep reaching more souls for Christ? Is it skill? Is it genius? Is it luck? Or is it something else altogether? Jesus is going to help us answer these questions this morning. But first, I want to start off with a story. It goes like this. On March 6th, 1987, Eamon Coughlin, the Irish world record holder at the 1500 meters, he was running in a qualifying heat at the World Indoor Track Championships. I believe it was in Indianapolis. With 2.5 laps left, he was tripped. He fell, but he got up. And with great effort, he managed to catch the leaders. With only 20 yards left in the race, he was in third place, good enough to qualify for the finals. He looked over his shoulder to the inside, and seeing no one, he took a breath, and he let up just a little bit. Bad move, because there was another runner charging hard on the outside. He passed Coughlin just a yard before the finish. Coughlin was eliminated from the finals. His great comeback effort rendered worthless. Why? Because he took his eyes off the finish line. He let up. He quit giving it his all before the race was over. So as we continue our study through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we find Jesus encouraging us to persevere. He's telling us to press on. Don't quit. Don't let up, especially in your prayer life, especially in studying the Word, especially in evangelism. Speaking of prayer, I love prayer. I believe prayer is one of the most powerful and most special gifts we've received from the Lord. Time in prayer is always time well spent. And the more time we spend praying, the more we understand just how true this is. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. But even with all of that, I fear that we miss out on so much of what this gift of prayer has to offer as we too easily give up. We quit. We cut our prayers short, or even at times we completely forget about prayer. My hope is that the words of Jesus in this sermon will motivate us to grab hold of this amazing gift called prayer and never give up. Never give up. That we would be those people who would persevere in crying out to the living God who hears, who's able, and who's willing to do more than we could ever hope or even imagine. So turn with me right here in the Word of God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7. Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." Amen, the words of Jesus. So the call to persevere, I don't know if you caught it, but the call to persevere is oozing out of Jesus' words right here. Why do I say that? On the surface, I don't see perseverance. You say, "Pastor, I don't see the word perseverance in what Jesus is saying." But if we look, check this out. if we look deeper, if we look into the Greek, the original language that Jesus was preaching in, then we realize that Jesus makes these statements in the present tense, meaning that he's stressing the need for continuous action. In other words, Jesus is literally saying, he's literally telling us, if we keep on asking, it will be given to us. If we keep on seeking, we will find, right? If we keep on knocking, it will be open to us. Jesus is letting us in on a secret. The secret is this: perseverance pays off. And that's the title of today's message. Perseverance pays off. Okay, the former president, Calvin Coolidge, he said, "Press on. Press on. Nothing in the world can take the place of perseverance. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts." Press on, he says, right? Well, hey, let's press on into Scripture. And as we press on, we notice that Jesus lays out a pretty exciting progression. And it begins with this thing called asking. So Jesus is kind of presenting to us that asking is this first level of inquiry, of knocking on heaven's door, of inquiry to our Heavenly Father. But we aren't supposed to stop with just the asking. Because then Jesus invites us to explore seeking. Seeking suggests that we step it up. How many of you are ready to step it up? I'm ready to step it up. See, we start going about finding what we're asking for. When we're seeking, we're looking to find that which we're asking for. So in other words, seeking equals asking plus action. Seeking is asking plus then taking action on what we're asking for. And just when we thought that the seeking was enough as far as God wants us to take it, then Jesus introduces what? The knocking. Knocking is the next step as we persist in finding what it is we're seeking for. So knocking equals asking plus action plus persevering. Knocking. I've told this story before, but it's worth repeating. I love it. This story has been such a great lesson, such a great encouragement to me over the years. It goes like this. One day, George Mueller, he was a Christian evangelist and director of the Ashley Down Orphanage in Bristol, England. That orphanage, by the way, cared for more than 10,000 orphans in Mueller's life. That's some action right there. That's incredible. Amen? Well, anyway, one day, George Mueller began praying for five of his friends. He wanted his friends, his buddies, to be born again, to be saved. Well, after many months of doing what? Of praying for his friends, one of his friends came to the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Several months, one of his buddies gets saved, right? But then it's a whole 10 years later that two other friends were converted. But it took 25 more years of prayer before the fourth man was saved. That's some action. That's some continuous action, some ongoing prayer. But what about the fifth guy, right? What about that fifth guy? Well, Mueller persevered in prayer until his death, praying for the fifth friend. And throughout those 52 years of persevering in prayer, he never gave up hoping that his friend would accept Christ. Well, Mueller's faith was rewarded. Soon after Mueller's funeral, that last friend was saved. Amen. Mueller never gave up. That's the key. He kept crying out to the Heavenly Father in prayer, and the door was opened. He kept knocking, and the door was opened. In many ways, the same story happened to my family. My grandfather, he was 96 years old. He'd rejected Jesus all of his life. Yet my mom kept praying for him. And sharing with him also, hoping and hoping and hoping. It seemed too late. Why keep hoping? Why keep praying? I mean, he's in his late 90s. Well, 6 months before his passing, my grandfather accepted Christ. Praise God, right? 6 months before his passing. Interestingly enough, to check this out, in his last years of life, my grandfather received care from some visiting angels. Two Christian women who worked for that care company called Visiting Angels. I love the name of it, and in so many ways, it's just true. And through their loving care, through the care of these two amazing children of God, these two amazing Christian women, loving my grandfather so well, caring for him so well, and sharing Jesus with him, my grandfather surrendered his life to Jesus. Those visiting angels were an answer to the persistent prayer of my mom and the rest of the family. My mom never gave up praying. She never gave up on hope. Come on, church. Perseverance is necessary. Perseverance, Jesus is saying, is part of what it looks like to walk with the Lord, to be a follower of Jesus, and specifically perseverance in prayer, in our prayer life. Perseverance, it's rewarded. Let's look at three areas where perseverance or persistence is necessary and where it's rewarded. We're going to start with number one, persistence pays off in prayer. We've been talking about that already a little bit, right? But persistence pays off in prayer. Jesus often stressed persistence when he taught on prayer. For instance, remember the parable of the persistent friend? It's found in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 5. Luke 11, beginning in verse 5. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight, and he says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. Come on, it's late. The door's already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, that kind of boldness keeps on knocking, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Did you see what just happened here? Jesus, this is important. Jesus just gave us permission to bother God with our prayers, with our requests. In fact, Jesus, in this parable and in his teaching, he encourages us, his disciples, to be bold about making requests of God. Not bossy to God. No. Don't ever do that. He is God. He is Almighty. We humbly come before him. Not bossy, but still bold and persistent with our needs and our requests before our good, good Father. After all, why was the man in this parable rewarded? Because he kept on asking, seeking, and knocking. He didn't give up. He didn't give up, church. Check this out. Got another story for you. I used to be a paper boy. That's right, man. I'd have that big old bag on my shoulder full of papers, and I'd ride around the neighborhood and sling those papers up on the porch. I would get them on the porch in front of the door. I was just that kind of guy, right? Anyway, I used to be a paper boy. We had to collect monthly payments from our customers. And this taught me that knocking lightly on a door wasn't going to get me very far. If I didn't knock loud enough, if I didn't get those knuckles banging on that door loud enough, maybe I felt shy, maybe I felt embarrassed or something. If I didn't knock loud enough, the door would go unanswered. And if the door wasn't answered, I'd walk away empty-handed. I quickly learned this. I quickly learned to knock on that door with confidence and persistence. Not being annoying, but I really needed that money. Come on now. After all, I wasn't delivering these papers in the dead cold of the Illinois winter for charity. This kid right here, he needed some spending money. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, church, Jesus is giving us permission to knock boldly, loudly, and often. Hey, let's look here in Luke 18. Do you remember the story of the persistent widow? Go to Luke chapter 18 here. The story of the persistent widow. Verse 1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So we know what this parable is about. It's about persistence in prayer, persevering in prayer, not giving up in prayer. Keep on asking, seeking, and knocking in the place of prayer. And so verse 2, Jesus said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. And she kept saying, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't even fear God or care about men, I don't even care about this widow, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And then verse 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Verse 7, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will I keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they quickly get justice. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Luke 18. Again, Jesus encourages us to be persistent in our prayers. He's not offended when we keep coming to him. He's not offended when we keep asking and seeking and knocking. He's not offended when we're desperate for him to show up in our lives. He's not offended when we cry out day and night, when we don't give up. Jesus has given us the green light to bother God with our needs, and I pray that you would hear that today. That you would hear that today. Jesus has given you permission to bother God with your needs. Not be annoying, not be disrespectful, but humbly continue to come before the Lord, asking, seeking, and knocking. It is okay to be desperate. So number one, perseverance pays off in prayer. But there's more. Let's check out number two here, is perseverance pays off in Bible study. Perseverance in the Word of God pays off. Can I get an amen? Amen. I almost heard that, like over the airwaves, right? Amen. Too many people give up, though. They have good intentions. They understand that the Word of God is powerful. It's active. It changes us. It doesn't return void. It's living and active, right? But too many give up too soon in their study of God's Word. Too soon. Too soon. They get busy with other things, and then the Word of God kind of just becomes an afterthought or an optional aspect of life. But I'm here to tell you that it's those who keep going at it, who keep taking in this Word, those who persevere in digging for truth, those are the ones who benefit from the blessings that God's Word provides. They're rewarded, and they're rewarded big time. Let's turn back to Psalm. This is Psalm 1. Psalm 1, we're just going to do the first three verses of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. For his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. It's in the Word of God. His delight is in the Word of God. That's where he wants to get life. And on his law, in the Word of God, he meditates day and night. That's persistence in the Word of God. Verse 3, and that person who persistently is in the Word of God, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Whatever he does prospers. Perseverance in the Word of God is rewarded. Then there's Psalm 119, beginning in verse 97. We're not going to read all of Psalm 119. That would take us a few more hours, maybe. Anyway, Psalm 119, verse 97. Check this out. Oh, how I love your law. How I love the Bible. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands, Your word here, your commands, they make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes, on the word of God. Verse 100, I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey the word. I obey your precepts. I've kept my feet from the evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are the words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your word, from the precepts here in the Bible. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. That's a man who loves the word of God, who goes to the word of God often, who finds life in the word of God. His persistence and the persistence of those who go to God's word, that persistence is rewarded. Okay, let's check out the third place where we need persistence and perseverance, where it pays off. Number three, perseverance and persistence pays off in evangelism. In evangelism. Did you know that so many people don't bear much fruit? They don't reproduce because they just give up too soon. Some just never get started in sharing Jesus with others. That's a shame. We're called to be fishers of men, church. We're called to share Jesus. That's why we have a voice. But then there are those who begin the process, but then they quit too soon. They quit sharing. The truth is, we reap what we sow, church. The more persistent we are in sowing, the more we will eventually reap. We must sow, and sow some more. This ongoing persistence in sowing is how we eventually reap a harvest. Let me tell you what, we just cannot give up. I got another story about not giving up. It's a basketball story. I've been back on the basketball stories lately, right? And some of you might remember this story, but back in the day, it was 5-6 years ago, I was coaching a JV basketball team. We were at the semifinals game over in a tournament in Southern California. And we are behind by 7 points with a minute left in the game. It looked impossible. We should have just given up, just folded. I pulled the team aside, and I told them, I said, boys, men, do we want to just write this one off as a defeat, or do we want to fight to the end? Do we want to finish strong and give it our all? I'm telling you, we can still pull this off, guys. And we don't want to be those who give up. You guys have what it takes. You guys are shooters. You guys are finishers. We can do this. Let's give it all we have. Those young men went back on that court, and they gave it all they had, and we pulled off the win in that game. We went on to the finals, and we won the entire tournament. Perseverance pays off. God rewards perseverance, and God encourages perseverance. Check out God's response to perseverance. We find it in Matthew chapter 7, back in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Amen. So who does God give things to? Do we see this? He gives things to his children. And who are you? Who are you? You're a child of God if you're in Christ Jesus. Why does God give good gifts to his children? We just read this, right? Because God is a good father. We sing about that often. He's a good, good father. That's just who he is, right? He gives things to his children because he's a good father and because Jesus says we ask him. The Apostle Paul put this principle in some very strong words in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, where he says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. And we can be filled up to all the fullness of God. That's in Ephesians 3:14 and all the way to 21. I'm just summarizing it right there. Well, do we believe this about our Heavenly Father? Do we believe this? Is this how we're approaching Him, church? God is able to do bigger things. I've told this in our Find Your Fit class, the story about how we got this campus right here. It's a miracle. We were going to build a smaller building on a smaller piece of land. And the Lord gave us a prophetic word through our dear friend, Pastor Emmanuel in Ghana, Africa. He called me all the way from Ghana and he gave me a word from the Lord. He said, you need to expand your expectations and increase your ability to receive. And the Lord very quickly then, that day, showed us this property, opened the door. Within a couple days, we had a deal worked out and we got like 3 times the size of the building and the size of the lot in an amazing location. God went over and above. That's just how good our Heavenly Father is. The Apostle John makes these statements. He says, we know that He hears us in whatever we ask. So we know that we have the request. We have the request which we've asked for. We know that He hears, John says. And because He hears, we know that we have what we're asking for. In 1 John 5. Remember Jesus tells us, He says, ask and it will be given to you. Ask. And do we really believe that? Now we're talking about asking for the will of God, for the things of God. We're asking for the kingdom things, right? But what kind of gifts is Jesus talking about that He's going to give us when we ask? What should we ask for and what should we expect? Is Jesus talking about more stuff, more toys, more cars, more houses, more iPhones, fancy vacations? Or is it actually so much bigger and more exciting than all that stuff that just rots and you can't take with you? I want to look at a parallel passage to what we're studying here this morning. It's found in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, and Luke writes, he says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you what? More stuff? More cars and iPhones and stuff? No. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Come on now. Now we're zeroing in on the bigger, the greater, the beyond, what God really has for us. Sure, God cares about our physical needs. We studied that a few weeks ago, right? However, God wants to give us gifts that go way beyond the physical. God wants to give us spiritual gifts. Come on, can we start getting vision for that? Can we start getting vision for the greater? Can we start looking beyond the cup of coffee or the iPhone or whatever it is? Can we start looking beyond just our immediate needs and look for the greater eternal things that God has for us to pour into us and through us through His Spirit? God wants us to be filled to the overflow with Him, not to be filled to the overflow with stuff, not burdened down with stuff that's rusting and that we can't take with us. He wants us to be filled to the overflow with Him. I'm pretty excited about all this. I'm pretty excited. You know, it's Pentecost Sunday. Next Sunday, May 31st, we're going to focus in on what this looks like, what this means, what it meant in that upper room on Pentecost Sunday, that original Pentecost Sunday when the Holy Spirit came and baptized the church with fire and filled that church with the power of God. Oh, man. It's going to be good. And next Sunday, May 31st, Pentecost Sunday, is when we are regathering right here in this room, in this building together. We're going to practice social distancing. We're going to have protocol for all of that. But we're coming back together. 2 services next week, 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. And so let's get back to the Word here. And so Jesus tells us to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. Why? Because He wants to pour Himself out on us, in us, and through us. That's amazing. I'm reminded of Paul's encouragement to the church in Corinth, found in 1 Corinthians 12, about verse 31, where he tells the church to eagerly desire the greater gifts of the Holy Spirit. Eager, want them, go after them, be desperate, persistent, and persevere in asking for the fullness of what the Holy Spirit has for us. James tells us this in James 4, verse 2. Check it out. James 4, verse 2. You do not have because you do not ask God. Pretty straightforward. You do not have because you do not ask God. Church, I pray that we would be those people of God who ask, those who seek, those who knock with perseverance. Why? Because Jesus told us to. He's invited us to. We have to. We need to. Maybe now more than ever. We have a need right now more than ever for persistence, to persevere in keeping on asking, keeping on seeking, and keeping on with the knocking for the things of God. In the midst of this strange season, this COVID season, where our world was put on hold, where so many of our plans, even our perceived momentum in life, was slowed down or even stopped, interrupted. Now more than ever, I believe the church needs to be persevering in prayer, persevering in the Word of God, persevering in sharing Jesus in evangelism, bringing the love and the gospel of Jesus to the hurting, to the lost who are in this painful world. Now isn't the time to quit. Now isn't the time to slow down. Now isn't the time to hunker down as the people of God. We're the salt and light. We're the ambassadors of Jesus on this earth. And we know this, God's Word is true. And He is trustworthy. And God will reward those who earnestly seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. He will. And that's who we are. We are those people of prayer, pursuing God and loving others. That's the word the Lord spoke over this church. That's the vision that He has for this congregation. We're a people of prayer, pursuing God and loving others. I want to speak to those of you who are watching today. And maybe you've never experienced new life in Christ Jesus. You've never been born again. You haven't had your sins forgiven. Your life turned around. The breath of God breathed into you. It's no accident that you've been watching this message. God is drawing you to Himself. He loves you. And He truly does have a plan and purpose for your life. He sent His Son Jesus to pay the price for the things that you messed up in life, to draw you so that you could be drawn into relationship with Him now and forever. And so if you're ready to move into new life with God, your Creator, through His Son Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, then I invite you to make some confessions and professions of faith after me. We don't have to have it all figured out yet, but what we need to know is in down deep in our inner man, we are desperate for a Savior, and we are ready to surrender ourselves to the Lord. If you're ready to make these professions of faith, would you just say them after me? Say, Jesus, in faith, I declare today that You are the Son of God, that You were raised from the dead, that You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And today, I surrender my life to You. I put my life in Your hands. I give You my past, my present, and my future. Forgive me, Lord, for the sins I've committed in my life. I repent. I choose today to live differently and to live for You, Lord. Would You come into my life? Will You change me now? Will You make me new? And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, my Lord and my Savior. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, if you made that profession of faith, And that's what came out of who you really are. Then I'm here to say that the grace of God is at work in your life. He's justifying you. He's forgiven you. And He's making you new. I want to encourage you to do what the Word of God says, and that's to share the decision that you've made with others. And you can do that right now. There's going to be an opportunity at the end of the service to fill out a Connect card and let us know so that we can pray with you, so that we can celebrate with you. We want to help get you connected to a church. If you're here in the East Valley of the Greater Phoenix area, we want to get you connected right here at Evan Life Church. We would love to meet you in person. And we have just amazing people who come alongside of you. You'll enjoy doing life with us at Evan Life Church. But if you live somewhere that's not close to Evan Life Church, we want to help you get connected to a local fellowship. It's so important. Well, hey, I just want to say that I'm blessed to pastor this church, a church that perseveres in prayer, that perseveres in the Word of God and in sharing Jesus with others. Next Sunday, we move into phase two of our re-entry, which means that we're regathering right here in this room. Limited space, limited seating, so we're going to have two services to accommodate all of us, 9 a.m., and 10:30 a.m. I'll see you next Sunday. But remember, we're also gathering in this room for our midweek Wednesday night prayer at 6:30 p.m. God bless you. I will see you soon.